better off than you were 4 years ago? Well, I would say, are we better off as a conservative movement than we were 20 years ago, which is the relevant period, I think, to look at? And I would say that today we have a vibrant conservatism in this country, and we have both the institutional and the personal assets that we never had 20 years ago. And so while the challenges are great, without any question, I think we have better resources to meet those challenges than our country has seen for quite some time. And an important part of those resources is, of course, all of you who are part of the Philadelphia Society. Please join me in thanking our panel for their remarks today. Where law is discussed is, of course, lawyer jokes, and we have had our share in the course of these proceedings. I try to tell economist jokes whenever I can. But I do have one lawyer joke that I think might be appropriate in line with some of the things we've talked about. It has to do with one of the problems that lawyers always face, and that's a moral dilemma. The elderly lady comes into the lawyer's office, asks his help in reviewing a contract because she's about to sign this, and it's rather important to her because she's giving up all of her life savings in order to be admitted to a retirement home. And so at the end of their meeting, the lady asks the lawyer how much she owes. The lawyer says, well, you've used about an hour of my time, that'll be $100, please, but don't worry, I'll send you a bill. She says, oh, no, I always pay my debts in cash and I pay them immediately. And so she goes into her purse and takes out some money and gives this bill to the lawyer. Well, the lawyer writes out a receipt, and the woman leaves. Well, after the woman is gone, the lawyer is about to take this $100 bill and take it down to their bookkeeper to be deposited in the firm's treasury when he notices that apparently the lady got this directly from the bank, and three $100 bills have stuck together, and instead of giving him $100, she actually gave him $300. That's where the moral dilemma comes in. Should he tell his partners? Well, as we conclude our inquiry into the question which has served as the theme of our 32nd National Meeting of the Philadelphia Society, is there still a legal order? Yesterday we began appropriately with Father Sirico discussing God-given natural law, and we ended with Stan Evans talking about divine law. In between, we had several other brilliant presentations on tort law, criminal law, constitutional law, natural law, and treaty law. Today we turn to the question, where does the law go from here? And we have, as you can see, three eminent scholars to tell us. But before presenting them, may I indulge in a few introductory comments. Early this year, two books were published on opposite sides of the Atlantic Ocean. One was published in London, by a British journalist, David Rose, and the book was entitled In the Name of the Law and had the subtitle The Collapse of Criminal Justice. Almost simultaneously in New York City, a judge by the name of Harold Rothway brought out his book with the title Guilty, and the subtitle of his book was The Collapse of Criminal Justice. It's an extraordinary coincidence, I believe, that two books, one in our country where we talk much about adhering to the rule of law, and the other in the nation from which we derived our system of law, both came to the same conclusion, that the system, at least in regard to criminal justice, has collapsed. Well, if we accept these conclusions, we have two logical alternatives. One is to give up, figure that our system of criminal law, at least, is no longer relevant, and we're going to try something new. Or, on the other hand, reform the system and perhaps restore its ability to function. In examining where the law goes from here, I'd like to briefly mention that there are several forces outside the normal world of lawyers and judges that have some influence on our legal institutions. I believe that the elections of 1996 may have one of the most significant impacts on our legal system that we have seen for a long time, and it's this mixture of law and politics that's so intriguing. What kind of Congress we elect in 1996 could well determine whether new statutes will create new causes of action in such fields as civil rights or environmental laws, as have the actions of Congress over the past 3 or 4 decades, or on the contrary, whether litigation, including tort law, frivolous prisoner suits, and regulatory actions will be more limited and be more sensible in terms to the actual needs of the public. Likewise, who is elected president with the power to appoint judges in the federal system over the next 4 years will affect the entire federal judiciary, but perhaps most significantly, it will determine whether the current 5-4 delineation in favor of a jurisprudence more closely aligned to what most of us think of as the rule of law will continue, or whether that fragile majority will be reversed and we will go back to the judicial excess and activism that characterized the 60s and 70s. In the law schools, things are changing when we look at where the law goes from here. And I'd like to say particularly that I'm impressed with the way in which the Federalist Society is providing alternative voices to the liberal dogma that has contributed so much to the leftward drift of the law during the past half century. The people themselves, having become dissatisfied with the direction of the law, are moving through ballot initiatives or private arrangements for alternative dispute resolution to find other ways than what has been our traditional system. So it's indeed a time of ferment in our legal institutions. And so at this point, let us turn to our panel to prognosticate about the future. I must say, whenever I do use that term prognosticate, I am reminded of an economist joke. You all know why God invented economists. That was to make weathermen look good. Our first speaker this morning is Professor David Forty, a professor of law at Cleveland State University. He holds academic degrees from Harvard College, Manchester University in England, the University of Toronto, and Columbia University School of Law. He's been a Bradley Scholar at the Heritage Foundation, a Salvatore Fellow at the Free Congress Foundation. He has taught Salvatore Fellows at Heritage, and he served as Chief Counsel to the United States Delegation to the UN during the Reagan administration. He has authored a number of briefs before the United States Supreme Court. His fields of teaching and his writing areas include constitutional law, the First Amendment, Islamic law, and natural law. On the 1st of May, which is Law Day, Professor Forte will deliver the Russell Kirk Memorial Lecture at the Heritage Foundation, and his topic will be Genesis and the Natural Law, which, as I remarked to him this morning, is a good place to start. It is my pleasure to present to you Professor David Forte. There we go.